Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verses 20. James said yes, because that's his name. He's like, yes, my book. You ain't write it. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I'm going to preface this sermon and this scripture reading by saying, this is your pastor's favorite verse in the entire Bible. Hands down, no questions asked. This is my favorite verse in all the Bible, and I get to preach on it today as we're in this series called the B-I-B-L-E. Last week, we talked about being able to see the scripture, trying to open you up to a method of reading your Bible and understanding your Bible, and the method is called SOAP. SOAP stands for scripture, observation, application, and prayer. This is a method in which I read my Bible daily and I journal so that I get greater understanding of God's word. So last week, we talked about scripture and observation, and we talked about seeing the scripture. How you see the scripture will dictate how you believe the scripture. How you see the scripture will dictate your understanding and your revelation of the scripture. So when I read the Bible, I try to see it like a movie, man. I want to see every angle. I try to even give people voices as I'm reading. Y'all heard my Pharisee voice. Yes, and we will get you this time, Jesus. I have to do that stuff because it helps me see the scripture. And in order to see the scripture properly, you got to understand the what? The context. So many people take scriptures and they preach them and they talk about them totally out of context. The easiest way to get something into the right context is to read the verses before it and to read the verses after it. By putting it in the right context, it changes the meaning of the scripture. And not only the actual context from what you've read, it's also good to know the historical context of the text. You know, some people will read verses that Paul was saying, and they'll read those verses and be like, oh, women shouldn't preach in church. No, you're wrong. There was a historical context to why that was so, and we'll get into that later on. But I want you to understand that if you don't know the context, you can take something and make it doctrine when it was never meant to be that way. So you got to be careful with what you read. And the other thing I talked about last week is don't take my word for it. We got to be like the Bereans. That word Berean, it means well-watered. Well-watered. I want to be a well-watered believer. And what the Bereans did, they took time to examine the scripture. They took time to judge, to examine, to find insight, to find revelation in the scripture. What I'm supposed to be doing every week, I like basketball, so I use a lot of basketball terminology. I'm supposed to be like a point guard, and I'm supposed to throw you an alley-oop. So, no, what's that? An alley-oop? I'm supposed to pass you the ball. And you're supposed to take the ball, and you're supposed to score. So I set you up to win each and every week. I give you some scripture. I give you some context. I set you up to win, because what I cannot continue to do is to spoon feed you the word. You see, I know there are some where you don't know anything about the word, and I'm okay with spoon feeding you for a little bit, but we can't do that forever, because the whole point of this thing is growth. You gotta grow. Like, I love aggressive babies, man. I talked about it last week, because they don't even want you to feed them after a while. I'm like, give me that. And they're getting food everywhere. It may be messy, but they're making progress. It may not look perfect. You may not be able to understand and read. It may be a little messy for you right now, but I want you to continue to read your word so that you can make progress. Amen? So we talked about seeing the scripture, scripture observation last week. Today I want to talk about applying the scripture. So James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, my all-time favorite in the whole B-I-B-L-E, reads something like this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I'm yelling because that is like the biggest issue I see with most folks. They got all the knowledge in the world, but they don't apply it. Don't merely just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Listen to this. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, underline that perfect law, I like that, into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And the church said, oh man, that's such a good piece of scripture. I can't wait to unpack it for you. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes. How many of y'all got your Bible? Let me see. Hold up your Bibles. Hold them up. Some of y'all still got. Oh, I see more Bibles today. Oh, we learning. Put them phones down. Can't cast out demons with phones. Your battery dies, you're done. I'm just kidding, but it is good to have God's word in a form you can hold in your hand and underline and write in, because you should definitely take notes, because they may not help you in this moment, but these notes are going to point you back to something in your word that'll help you when you really need it. Amen? Taking notes in this second part of the B-I-B-L-E, we got one more part next week. Today we're talking about applying the scripture. Next week we're going to talk about praying through the scripture. Ooh, that gets me excited to think about. Applying the scripture. And if you want to give this this message a title, you can also call it The Man in the Mirror. The Man in the Mirror. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this day, for this day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I pray that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that was going to be here. You're not surprised that they're here. And God, I pray that you open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to your word. May I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words come from me. Let them come directly from your throne room of grace. And may someone be changed by them. May they not just see the scripture. May they be the scripture, God. May they apply what they have learned. Pray these things. I pray that by the time it's all said and done, somebody meets Jesus. Pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody sit. Everybody sit. Take about 5 seconds to give Jesus some praise while I drink this water. Come on. So before I kind of get into this, I want to give you some what? Context. James is a book that is written to Jewish Christians. Last week we talked about Acts, who was written by Luke. Luke was a physician. He was writing to the most excellent Theophilus, a Gentile that lived in high esteem. Might have been his benefactor, might have really helped pay for Luke's life while he was writing these books. But James is a different book. I love how James wants to speak to Jewish Christians while Acts was trying to speak to the Gentiles. It was written by a Gentile for not many other books of the Bible are written by a Gentile, which Luke was. So it was written by a Gentile for a Gentile. James is written by a Jew for Jews. Okay, so you get a lot of Hebrew and different things in this book. What was he writing about? At the time when this book was written, the Jewish Christians, man, they were being dispersed from city to city. There was so much persecution that they had to endure. I know sometimes we feel like we are being persecuted because, oh, they didn't let us get in the theater this day. The Pharaoh is holding us down and pushing us. No, we ain't going through nothing, man. We got a beautiful room with lights and microphones that we could talk about Jesus in, and we're thankful for what we got. Amen? This is not persecution. They were being, Jewish Christians were being slaughtered. They were being stoned. People were causing riots in different places and trying to get the government involved in spiritual affairs. And literally these Christians, these followers of the way, which is what Christians were called initially, the followers of the way were being killed for their beliefs because the government thought that we must snuff these believers out because we don't want this man named Jesus. We don't want him to become bigger in death than he was in life. But how many of you know that persecution pushes you forward? The more they pushed us, the the more we grew, the stronger we got. And we get encouragement from books like James to let us know that we need to keep moving forward. No matter when people try to push us around, we got to keep pushing the gospel forward. Amen? So that gives you context. And James is telling believers how to have a character of a good believer even when you're being pushed. Because sometimes we pushed and we just throw our character out the window. You know, when they cut you off and you throw them a spirit finger. You believe, but they pushed you. So you did something you probably shouldn't have done. Use choice words. Usually they have four letters that you shouldn't use, but you do because you get pushed. James is saying, hey, you got to control your tongue. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much they push you. You got to be the bigger person. You got to watch your mouth, but you shouldn't just watch the things that you say. Where we come into with this scripture is he flips it. Don't just watch what you say. Now you got to watch what you do. You got to watch what you do because you know better. I love the old line, you know, when you know better, you do better. If you knew better, you do better. And it made me think about something that me and my wife are going through right now. And I want to be transparent in front of you because we don't always use the best words when we have this discussion and we need your prayer. I need help because there's a constant argument that happens in our household, and I stand before you a man broken. Stand before you a man humble, willing to admit it. Some of y'all are like, oh, what he about to say now? Depending on what he say next, I'm going to leave this church. No. We have this constant discussion in my house now about eyelashes. Like, where'd you think I was gonna go? Somebody was like, man, it was so good, and he just had to open his mouth. Eyelashes. Eyelashes in my house have caused a problem. Because I don't get it. I don't understand. Like it said, thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. I don't get, like, here's so bad. When my wife takes my car, I have my GPS in my car. She's been to the eyelash place so many times on my favorites in destinations, it shows her eyelash. I'm like, I've never been to this eyelash place. Why is it the first place that pops up on my GPS? Always talking about eyelash. Like, I just, fellas, let me tell you something. This for the fellas, okay? Ladies, don't get mad. Women be lying. Like, they be lying, man. Like, baby girl, you are beautiful. You wake up flawless. Hair, flawless. Nails, flawless. Eyelashes, flawless. You just woke up like that, girl. You got the spirit of Beyonce all over. I believe that, right? But it bothers me because my wife thinks that I care about how long her eyelashes are. The argument is that you don't notice me when I don't do my eyelashes. It's not true. Because when I look at you, the last thing that I'm looking at on you is your eyelash. I have never, fellas, help me out here. Preach with me. Holler at me if you feel me. I ain't never heard one dude in life look at a girl and was like, man, she got some bad eyelashes. Fellas, are y'all with me? Give me a hoo, hoo, hoo. That's the loudest y'all have ever gotten in church. Thank y'all. I need y'all with me. We ain't looking at your eyelashes, girl. I mean, this is like a constant battle. And I know when she just get her eyelashes done, because she come home and she be like this. I'm like, babe, what's wrong? You got something in your eye? Let me blow it out. Just hold it. You okay? She's like, no. Like, why are you blinking so much? You don't see something different? What? I like the eyelashes God gave you. Like, I've seen girls with eyelashes so long, if they blink too hard, they fly away. It's like, why? We don't care about your eyelashes. I just had to get that out, you know? It's not healthy to hold stuff in. You gotta release. You gotta release to increase. It's another message. I love you, girl. But I ain't looking at your eyelashes. I'm looking at everything else. And I'm gonna preach faster because I just took a look. Okay. She's convinced that she gets her eyelashes done for me. You ain't get your eyelashes done for me. You know why you got your eyelashes done? Because you woke up, you looked in the mirror, and you said, my eyelashes ain't long enough. I'ma get them a little longer. You looked at yourself, you made an assessment, and you made a decision to go get longer. They had nothing to do with me. Stop trying to blame your decisions on other people. You got eyelashes because you wanted to get eyelashes. You looked and saw something about yourself that you thought you could make better. I don't think, baby girl, I don't think you need to make anything better. I love you just the way you are. And y'all know, and I'm going to still be paying for it. You know why she gets her lashes done? It's because of this one question I want to ask everybody in this room. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Because how you see yourself will determine your actions. How you see yourself will determine your actions. See, without a mirror, you don't really know what's going on. I mean, you can have all kind of crust in your eye. You could look toe, hair could be like this. We don't know. Because what do we do when we wake up? The first thing we do, we go to that bathroom. And before we brush our teeth, we look in the mirror. Oh, Lord Jesus, what is that? We look in the mirror. And based upon what we see in the mirror, we make corrections. You see, I look at people all the time, and I can tell there are some folks that have left their house without looking in the mirror. You say, that's mean. I'm not talking about the physical mirror. There's some folks that have left their house without looking in the mirror and making a proper assessment. And I'm not talking about a physical mirror. I'm talking about the mirror that is the Word of God. If you see this as nothing else, yes, Jesus is the living, breathing fulfillment embodying this Word. But I want you to also understand that this Word is the greatest mirror that you will ever have in your life. This Word, if you look intently at it, it will reveal things to you. And if you take an honest look in the mirror, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make corrections. You're going to make adjustments. You're going to make shifts. See, it's not just enough to see the Word like we talked about last week. You got to start looking at it, and you have to see yourself, and you have to make adjustments. You cannot just see the Word. You must apply it. And that's where I want to live in today as we process this scripture. This is exactly what James is talking about. Don't merely just listen to the Word. Don't just see it. You're just going to deceive yourself. He says you got to actually, like, look at this thing and then do what it says. See, it's not just enough to see yourself. You got to look at this thing and you got to get a revelation, because when you get a revelation, revelation leads to revolution. When you see something, when God reveals something to you, it should cause you to do something. Don't just hear this good word every week. Don't just be reading your Bible in the morning and then just go out and live the same way that you lived yesterday. That's something I pray every day. God, help me be better today than I was yesterday. I don't want to do the same things that got me into the same trouble. I want to process. I want to see. I want to apply. I want to be better. There's no point in looking at scripture if you're not actually going to apply it. You cannot see the mirror of God's word and walk away and be the same person. See, when you see something in God's word, I love it because we have this thing called free will. He gives us the power to act upon it. Who do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see? Because based upon what you see, it's going to determine your actions. We cannot just see scripture. We must apply it. Here's why the mirror of the Bible is important. It's important for a few reasons. And the first is this. The mirror reminds you of things that you've already seen. It reminds you of things. Like, how many of y'all know how you look? Of course you do. You know what size nose you got. You know what color your eyes are. You know if your ears are close or if they are far. You know if your head is big or it's small. You know. You know why? Because you wake up every day and you look in the mirror. So it's reminding you, showing you something familiar. You only get shocked when you look in the mirror and you see something that is not familiar. Where that wrinkle came from? Oh, why is my beard so ashy? Oh, like when you look in the mirror, it shows you things that you have seen. The Bible is supposed to show you some stuff about yourself that you are very aware of. Look what the Bible says. James 1, 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and right after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Could you imagine if you didn't remember how you look right after looking in the mirror? How crazy would that be? You're like, oh, wait, what was that? Oh, wait, what was that? Oh, it doesn't make sense. The Bible is making a statement that does not make sense, because it does not make sense to see yourself, know yourself, and still do the same thing. I've talked about my many struggles in life, and I've talked about my hair struggles, but glory be to God, I figured it out. And I remember when I was making the decision, and finally one day I did it, and you know, I like tan my hair, but like before I did it, I was living such a lie, y'all. Like, I wore do-rags. Why? Why do you wear do-rags when you have no waves? I had pieces of waves, but I was wearing do-rags. Because I thought if I put the do-rag on, then nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to suspect what's going on. And oh, man, I had the largest collection of hats of all time, because I thought if I could just cover it up, they won't know what's really going on back here. They won't really understand. And I was literally living a lie. I was living in delusion. I was deceiving myself. So when I finally did decide to cut it off and I tanned, I'm not going to lie, that first outing after I cut my hair, I was, so, man, it was so nerve-wracking, because I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, hope my head's the right shape. I knew what I looked like. And I walked out and I went to church, you know. I was like, I'll find comfort here. There's no judgment here. And I walked out and I was like, man, I know somebody. You like somebody always, you know that person, like no matter what you do, like they notice and they gotta say something about it. Oh, I see what you did there. Oh, I'm like, yo, I'm trying to be like discreet. Like you walk in the door and they're like, oh, look at T. Oh, I'm like, yo, Like I couldn't even get in the room. Like, I just, oh! Oh, it's like. And the longer I went throughout the day, people saw me, right? And like, and they saw me and they saw something different. I was like, hey, you see something different about you? You know what's different about me. Something different about you. I see you. You cut your hair. It's like, yeah. Man, that looks so good on you. It's about time. You should have did that long, because church folk, they honest with you. You should have did that a long time ago. It looked good, though. It looked good. And, you know, throughout the day, you know, you keep getting them comments. And yeah, see, at least you got a, and, you know, I love the old church mamas because they try to make you figure, at least you got a nice shaped head, baby. Trying to make me, yeah, that, you know, yeah, man, that's a good move, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah. You should have definitely did that because we saw. And I think it's interesting because the response you think you're going to get is never the one that actually comes to you when you're honest with yourself. People, you're not fooling anybody by hiding anything. But people always respond more favorably to you when you are being honest and open about who you really are. I think that when you look in the mirror of the Bible and you make adjustments, I think people notice. And they start to say things like, oh, joy looks good on you. I'm so glad. It's about time you did that. I ain't seen you smile since last year. You know, joy really suits you. Oh, that peace looks good on you. Because usually I see you worry. But now that you got that peace, I think you got that peace that passes on. That looks really good on you. You should keep that peace. Patience? That patience looks so good on you. Because the last time I saw you, I thought you was going to spaz out. You was just all, but now it's like you just seem so much more patient with your kids now. That looks so good on you. You know patience suits you. Self-control, oh my goodness. I mean, I've definitely seen the change in you. You're so disciplined now. That looks so great on you. Oh, and you know that love? Oh man, that love that you've been showing? Man, it's a blessing to everybody. That looks so good. I love when you share that love. It looks so good on you. See, it's not enough for you to know you got a problem. You actually got to do something about it. But when you make adjustments based upon God's word, it makes a positive impact to everybody that sees you. You can learn from hearing, but you still got to do something different. Because truth be told, being a Christian isn't about the quality of your look. It's about the quality of your life. A lot of us look good, right? But our life ain't worth nothing because we don't love the people around us. We're not patient with the people around us. We don't show joy. I'm a Christian, but you always mad. Your life speaks a lot louder than your look. I don't care if you got the clothes right. I don't care if you know all the Christianese in the world. If you walk around acting like a sourpuss, please don't say that you're a Christian because you represent all of us wrong. Put a smile on your face. I used to tell myself, man, you got to smile more when you preach. I used to be the angry preacher. And God said, Now, like, every time, like, I say something crazy, I'm like this. Because I don't want the look to be more important than the life. Jesus did not die for your look. He died for your life. John 10:10 says, I have come to give you life. And life more abundantly. It does not say that I've come to give you a good look so that you can look better. I've come to give you life and a better life if you trust in me. Don't be a Christian that allows your look to overtake your life. Mirrors don't just show you things that you've seen. They show you things you don't see. They show you things you cannot see. I love looking in the mirror and seeing new things. You know, contrary to popular belief, people get stressed out about getting older. I kind of like it, because I feel like things that that I didn't grow into before, I'm like finally growing into. You know? I'm like, wow, I finally grew into this head. It should be like all head, you know? Like, oh, I grew into that. Oh, my beard, it finally connects. I remember, y'all, yo, them struggle beard days, man. I had like a patch here, a patch here. Now I look at me, I'm like, oh, we finally connected. We're doing something now, beard gang, hashtag. They don't just show you things you've seen. They show you things you have not seen. The only way to see things that you have not seen, one, you got to love somebody enough to tell you. Or somebody has to love you enough to tell you. Or you got to look in the mirror. I'm not going to lie. I love my beard, but I've been having like a crisis with my beard a little bit. The problem with a beard, especially the longer it gets, I had to just trim it down a little bit. I like to eat chips. Chips are my addiction. Lord, free me. And when I eat chips, when you have a beard, what happens is chips land in your beard. So I could walk around with an entire meal on my face. And if I don't have good people around me, they'll let me. I walked into store Walmart, just eating the back. Got all kind of crumbs here. And you know, and like, you know when you got something wrong and people don't want to tell you, they be like, so you weren't going to tell me I had all this messed up right here? That's why I like my good friends. Like, I got a good friend's name is Benjamin Johnson. He's in here. I don't know where Ben's at right now, but I know he's in the room somewhere. And Ben, like, Ben is notorious. If I got something wrong, he going to let me know. He's like, hey. Like, he ain't going to say nothing. Just, hey. I'm like, for real? He's like, you good. You know you got good friends when you got boogers hanging out your nose and they say something about it. Just like. Some of y'all walk around like that, won't nobody tell you nothing. They don't love you. They don't love you. They just, everybody like, your real friend? Hey, dog. Hey. Loves me enough to tell me the truth about myself even when I don't see it. But if you ain't got nobody around you that loves you enough to tell you the truth, the Bible screams truth at you. It tells you all kinds of things about yourself that you cannot possibly see, because God loves you enough to not let you walk around with something on your face that shouldn't be. God loves you so much. He said, God, I love my kids so much, I cannot allow them to walk around with that look of guilt that they have because they are stuck in a side piece relationship, believing that that person will leave their spouse for them when good and well that person will never leave their spouse for you. I love you enough in my word to tell you, thou shalt not commit adultery. Sidebar, if you are in that relationship, don't raise your hand. Get out now. They're not gonna leave their family for you, because God has a family just for you. It's just not theirs. God loves you enough to tell you that.
Say, man, why he going there?
Because I know people. And people do dumb stuff. And we need God's word to tell us the truth about it. God loves you enough to tell you that you can't walk around with the guilt of that addiction. It does not look good on you. I want to break you free from that. And I love some people because they are so guilty about what they do, they use church as a mask. If I serve hard enough, they'll never know what I'm really about. God loves you enough to tell you, you got to walk in truth, because the truth shall set you free. He won't let you walk around with that guilt and that shame and that condemnation. God loves you too much to let you walk around with pride that won't let you say I'm sorry or forgive somebody that has wronged you. So how do I know? Because his word tells me if you can't forgive others, I won't forgive you. God loves you too. There's some people in this room that forgive somebody for years, and it's been so long that you talk to them, you don't even know why you're mad at them anymore. God loves you too much to walk around with that. He says, forgive as I have forgiven you. God loves you too much to let you walk around with the pain of your past that makes you feel like no one loves you. That's just not true. He says, I'm not just going to tell you I love you. I'm going to show you. I'm not going to let you walk around feeling like no one cares. I love you so much. I'm going to send my son. I'm gonna take this thing from word to action. And I'm going to send my son to die on a cross for you just to show you how much I love you. This is the kind of God that we serve. Our God is not talk. Everything he does is action. Every single thing. So when you can't see it for yourself, you can always trust God's word to reveal it to you. Jesus loves you so much that he won't allow you to walk around with something on your face. And finally, mirror doesn't just show you things you've seen and show you things you don't see. And it shows you who you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to look like. Man, come back. Who you're supposed to look like. I love what the Bible says, James 1:25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, I love that, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Whoever looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom. Who do you see when you look in the mirror? Who do you see? I love the artist that brought a lot to this world. His name was Michael Jackson. Say what you want to about Mike. He blessed this world with some great music. And one of my favorite songs that he ever wrote was Man in the Mirror. So if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself. As much as I love that song, I want to shift the theology on that a little bit. It says, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. This verse says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. It talked about us looking at a mirror, and then it says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. See, if you could change what was going on in your life by just looking at yourself and changing you, then everything Jesus died for is irrelevant. If you could do it. If you could do it, you wouldn't even be here right now. What would you need? If you... All I got to do is look at myself. All I got to do is this self-help. If I could help myself, then it's not help. Help requires something outside of you giving you assistance. You cannot help yourself. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. But the verse says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. What am I saying? When you look in the mirror, you should not see yourself. You should see the law. What? When you look at this, you should not see yourself. You should see the law. But wait, if I look at the Bible, the mirror of all humanity, and I see the law, then all I'm gonna see is how messed up I really am. Exactly. If I look at this, I'm going to see my mistakes. If I look at this, I'm going to see my errors. If I look at this, I'm going to see my sin. That's the whole point. But I love it because it doesn't just say whoever looks at the law. It says whoever looks at the perfect law that gives freedom. Oh, my goodness. See, before Jesus came, God gave us this thing called the what? The law. It was supposed to be our boundaries, supposed to be our guidelines in life. But Jesus comes, and the Bible says that he is the fulfillment of the what? He's the fulfillment of the law. So if Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, we also know this about Jesus. Jesus was what? He was perfect. So when the Bible talks about the perfect law that gives freedom, how do we know that this is Jesus? Not only is Jesus the living fulfillment of the law, not only was Jesus perfect, but we also know that Jesus is truth. And what can set you free? Truth. So Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of the law. So when I look upon God's word, Jesus is God's word. When I look upon the perfect law, when I look upon it, not only should I see my mistakes, but it should humble me. Because when I'm humble by the perfect law that gives freedom, do you know the perfect law's response to you? The perfect law's response to you when you look at it in humility. The perfect law says, hey, I know you messed up. You're right. You should see your sin. You're right. But guess what? When God sees you, he doesn't see you. Because when you look at the perfect law that gives freedom, when you look in the mirror, you see me. So guess who God sees? When God looks in this mirror, he does not see you. He sees me. And what am I? I am perfect. I am flawless. So when you wake up and look in the mirror, you wake up flawless. Your past, flawless. Your present, flawless. Your future, flawless. Why? Because God, he's looking at the perfect law that gives freedom, that covers you. And his name is Jesus. So when the enemy tries to look at you in the morning, when you look in the mirror and say, oh, you woke up like this, you say, no, I woke up like him, Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God doesn't see me in the mirror. He sees his son, the perfect law that gives freedom. And his name is Jesus. Seeing the perfect law, Jesus, that gives freedom, humbles me. But it doesn't just humble me, it covers me. Michael was asking us to look in the mirror and change ourselves. Jesus says, look in the mirror, see me, and know I've already changed everything that needs to be changed. Let me change it. Because you can, if you could change it, you wouldn't need me. Jesus was sent to this earth not just to show us what we look like, but he's also supposed to show us who we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to look like him. When you see yourself as a Christian, see the God in you. See the Jesus in you. See the perfect law that gives freedom, because you've heard the word. You've looked at the mirror, and Jesus is looking back at you. So don't walk away like you have not seen who he is. Apply him to your life, because you're not supposed to see the man in the mirror. You're supposed to be the man in the mirror. You're supposed to be the woman in the mirror. Because when you be the man in the mirror, what you're saying is, I just want to be more like Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.